You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 23rd of October 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Yes, we've reached the end of another week. It's the weekend around the corner, and you know what that means. It means we have Grandpa Lampshade with us today. Grandpa, good day, sir. How are you doing?
Doing great. I've got that Friday feeling, Sven. And you know, I'm just sitting here reflecting on America and how great it is to be an American. Because you know what makes America better than you Brit fags or you Euro fags? We have freedom of speech in America. And by freedom of speech, see, y'all don't have freedom of speech. We have freedom of speech. And by freedom of speech, I mean access to porn. That is freedom of speech as defined in America. See, so since freedom of speech in America is porn, that means y'all don't have access to porn. How do y'all get by with no access to porn? I'm wondering about that.
Well, I think that is what people are going to be asking themselves if this news story is to be believed. Who fills the next Supreme Court vacancy matters, and it may even impact your sex life, the Daily Beast tell us. Yes, if Trump nominee Amy Coney Barrett becomes the next Supreme Court justice, the future of the commercial sex industry could be in grave danger, as could the viewing entertainment of millions of Americans, since according to Pornhub statistics, the US consistently outranks all other countries in maintaining the highest rate of daily traffic to Pornhub. Thus, as the Senate hearings to confirm Amy Coney Barrett draw to a close, her seemingly inevitable spot on the bench has sparked panic among the sex worker community. I think this is really quite insulting to say that this could be impacting everybody's sex life. I mean, that this implies that, to use a British word here, that America is just a bunch of wankers. I mean, that's what it's really implying here. But Grandpa, what do you make of this? Is this really going to happen? Is Amy Coney Barrett going to ban Pornhub, do you think?
I wish. I caught that too. Your sex life. And then, you know, so basically your sex life is fapping to porn. This is America today. Panic among the sex worker community, because no doubt this is a First Amendment issue, because no doubt when the founders of this country were coming up with the idea of freedom of speech, free press, things such as that, they were thinking about someday they're going to invent this thing called porn, and we want to be dang sure that nobody interferes with this constant stream of basically degenerate filth. You know, we wouldn't want anything to come in the way of that once it's invented. So let's put this First Amendment in here and be sure that's protected.
Just one day in the future, they wanted to see their daughters or their sisters in some degenerate movie there engaged in a gangbang. I mean, it's really quite twisted that something as essential to democracy as free speech and the ability to criticize the policies of the government has been twisted into meaning the freedom to be a voyeur and watch somebody else having sex with prostitutes. I mean, it is so seedy. When you boil down what pornography is, it's just watching somebody else have sex with a prostitute, and yet it's absolutely massive. And we're going to get into it here, just how things got that way. But continuing with the article here, if she is confirmed, it could be catastrophic for the adult industry if and when any First Amendment-related cases reach the Supreme Court, argues adult actress Siri Dahl. Instead of supporting equal free speech for all Americans, she seems to support privileged free speech for religious Americans. There is no way that will be good for the porn industry. So no concern here about the fact that people that actually criticize immigration policy, criticize Islam as a religion, run the risk of losing their jobs, of being doxxed. I mean, you yourself, Grandpa, you got doxxed and lost your job simply for being critical of certain government policies. No interest in that. All she is interested in is the freedom to make money from men. It's actually abusive of men to allow this pornography, because it just manipulates men. It makes money from men, from the natural desires that men actually have, and it just leaves people, just leaves men distracted all the time, because it's gone on from the porn industry, from the hardcore porn to soft pornography in the movies, in the pop videos, the scanty clothing that women wear now, the slut walks that they have. It's constantly distracting men from what men should really be, which is virtuous and protective and providing for everybody. And instead, they're just out looking to get women all the time, because they're constantly half turned on by all this semi-pornography that they see everywhere. And she thinks this is a good thing, I guess, because she makes money from it. She manipulates men through it. But no concern at all for what the First Amendment was really about, which is protecting political speech, which you yourself weren't protected, and you should have been, Grandpa. I mean, you should not have been able to be doxxed and lose your job because of this. What do you make of what this adult actress Siri Dahl has to say here?
Well, yeah, in bizarro world, everything is backwards. I mean, they passed something like the Patriot Act, and you know it's going to be something just the opposite of that. You know, if they pass an act that says the act to protect Americans' ability to travel, then you know it's going to be about restricting your ability to travel. Everything is backwards. The First Amendment was established specifically for the protection of political speech. But that's the one thing you're basically not allowed to do. If you're criticizing the oligarchy, if you're criticizing the system, if you really get down to the root of the system, then that's not allowed. But yet this sort of thing has been twisted and somehow shoehorned in to fall under the guise of protected speech. It kind of falls into the thing, you know, one of the things I like, because Americans are always hung up, but we're the freest country. And I always like to point out, free to do what? You know, I mean, really, what serious, what freedoms do you actually have? Well, apparently the sacred freedom to sit around fapping to porn all day, that's apparently a sacred freedom that you have. But if you really get into real, you know, political speech, you don't have that freedom. There's you don't have the freedom to point out race realities. You don't have the freedom to point out, you know, who's doing what. I mean, when you get down to criticizing the oligarchy, you don't have that freedom. Freedom, and this idea of freedom of speech in the U.S. is very much an illusion, and a lot of people don't really understand that. And I was thinking about, you know, they there's always the saying about, you know, well, you have freedom of speech, but you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. That's always the go-to thing that people point to. You don't have the freedom to yell fire in a crowded theater, because that's not what? Well, that's not political speech, so that's not freedom of speech. But yet, how is pornography any different than yelling fire in a crowded theater? And they turn it on its head and say, oh, well, yes, but that is somehow protected speech. If they want to put a crucifix in a jar of piss, that's protected sacred free speech. It's insulting of your religion and basically blasphemy in what's ostensibly supposed to be a Christian nation. That's sacred free speech. But if you dare criticize the oligarchy, then all of a sudden, you know, all hell breaks loose on you. It's not protected free speech. It's all a part of this whole twisted upside down world that we live in. But this notion of free speech in the U.S. is largely an illusion. And slowly but surely, people are going to come to realize that.
You know, before I learned about politics and about nationalism, you know, that is the way that it was taught, that free speech meant pornography. And this is what America is exporting around the world. This is why we see a lot of countries like India having a lot of problems with the relationships now, and they have a very high divorce rate. And it's because pornography has been introduced there. Pornography isn't about freedom. Pornography is a weapon that is used against people. It was used, as E. Michael Jones has pointed out, it was used in the Israeli war against the Lebanon or Palestine, and they took over the TV station and they started producing all this pornography on there and projecting pornography into people's living rooms. And of course, that immobilized the men, basically. So they weren't able to actually fight back. So is it freedom or is it a weapon? It's a weapon. Continuing with the article here, as if worrying about the career persecution wasn't enough, Siri anticipates a worse threat will hit much sooner. I'm worried about reproductive rights. Our rights to important healthcare like birth control and abortion are in imminent danger. It's especially scary to me as a sex worker who also happens to have a uterus, says Dahl. I'd like the government to stay away from my sex organs and my personal health decisions. Interesting there where she is linking pornography here with abortion and women's rights. And of course, it is linked with feminism. When they changed these laws to allow abortion, and it was timed in with this promotion of pornography, it came in under feminism and basically the right for women to be shielded from the consequences of their actions. So if they got pregnant, they could have an abortion. If they had got themselves into a marriage that wasn't the best of marriages through their bad decisions, they could have a divorce. They didn't want slut shaming. They wanted women to be able to manipulate men through pornography and make money from men through pornography. And the way that it is portrayed is that it is it's just all about healthcare. Essentially, it's about murdering children. And the amount of children that are murdered in America since Roe versus Wade is shocking. I mean, that is the real Holocaust. Is all these innocent children that should be in the safest place of all is within their mother's womb, and the one that should be caring for them is actually the one that ends up murdering them, and they have the cheek to say that this is something about health and it's important for women. I mean, women really need to be shielded from being given a choice like this where they could make a decision which they could end up regretting for the rest of their life. I have yet to meet a woman that had an abortion that it didn't then affect them later on in life where it was a huge regret to them. And the sort of excuses that are given for this is so that I could have a career. So that I could have a career. How does that weigh up to murdering a child? This is the same as thousands of years ago, there used to be human sacrifice in exchange for benefits in life. Some of the ancients would sacrifice their children, and they would write their wishes on a little bit of paper, and the gods would grant their wish in exchange for sacrificing this child, and the wish would be to be successful. And it's the same thing now. We have these young mothers that end up killing their children because they want to be successful in their career and they think they're going to be held back by having a child. It's a horrific, really horrific thing that goes on. And for this to come under the heading of freedom of speech and rights for women, it's a horrific reversal of everything that should be right and good. I mean, we should look after women, we should look after children, but killing them and allowing pornography, that is the opposite of it. We've really been subverted here, I think, and it is particularly the Supreme Court that has been responsible for this. So she does have a point there. Well, what do you make of what she's saying here, Grandpa, where she links abortion and birth control to pornography?
Well, it's interesting that you bring up ancient child sacrifice, because when you read like in the Old Testament, when they talk about when God is condemning the nation because they passed their children through the fire and people don't understand what that meant, well, what they would do is they would take their infants and burn them alive. And while the infant was screaming and burning alive, they would have an orgy with the priests of Moloch or Baal. And so tying the abortion in with the pornography, it's literally the same thing. You know, oh yes, because I'm going to have this career and I'm going to make this money. I bet this, she brings up her uterus. I was just sitting here thinking, I bet her uterus looks like an artillery practice range. That's no doubt. But you know, and talking about the porn industry, once again, it's like everything else in this country. Everything is about funneling money to the oligarchs, and the porn industry is very much a part of that. They funnel this money. And a good example of this was we used to have this thing here, and I don't know, they may had it over there, but you know, it was called Backpage. It was an online thing, and it was known because hookers would put their ads on there, you know, and they didn't have to go through pimps and they weren't out on the street. And these hookers would advertise on Backpage. And the feds went in and shut this down because they said, oh, well, this is human trafficking. And I read a story about it later, and a lot of these hookers were complaining because they're like, well, all it did was force us into the streets where the pimps take over. But it's really about they shut that down. But see, they won't shut down a porn hub. It's about funneling. They always do these things, and it always means funneling money to the corporations. It is making sure that the money always winds up funneled to the oligarchs. Everything is geared that way. And yes, this abortion thing, and you sit here and say, well, they're not burning these infants alive. Look up what these abortions, you know, the mechanics of what happens in these things, and tell me it's less barbaric than burning infants alive. We're not going to get into it here, but it's disgusting. And most people are probably vaguely familiar about it. It's kind of like how they try to sugarcoat these things. They talk about, they frame it as reproductive health and a woman's, her health, her choice. It's a freedom of choice. And they never want to actually talk about what they do. They want to talk about pull the baby out first, keep its head in there, and then basically decapitate it with a pair of scissors. They won't talk about that. They don't want to talk about running this tool up there and basically doing an egg scrambler on this infant that can feel pain. They don't want to talk about the mechanics. It's just like the homosexual thing. They don't talk about it. They talk about, oh, love is love. And you know, da, da, da. They don't ever want to talk about the mechanics of what it means, hairy man ass sex, because that turns people off. So they always try to frame it in these easy, more sugarcoated, rose-colored glasses kind of context. But when you get to pointing out what actually happens here, it's utterly revolting. These abortions, you go and brings up abortion. This is no different. And I guarantee you, as a Christian believer, it's no different in the eyes of God than when the people used to burn their infants alive in belief that, that would bring them monetary prosperity.
There is definitely a comparison that could be made. Well, the Daily Beast continues that it is unlikely that the Supreme Court will not overturn these laws with the current Conservative majority, which, if Barrett is appointed, will become 6-3, reaching an imbalance that could last for decades. It is a potentially frightening group with the power to reshape our legal framework, but without the wisdom to effectively balance it. Pornography laws are a prime example of striking that necessary balance. Interesting the way that the left are the wise ones, and there's no longer going to be any wisdom left in the Supreme Court because the liberals are no longer going to be there. Well, if it is now a current Conservative majority, that's because the liberals have been replaced. So we've had liberals for all this time. So surely it's about time we did have some Conservatives, and the court is there to interpret the law. The law is how it stands, and a lot of people would say that the law has been misinterpreted to allow murder, misinterpreted to allow obscenity under the disguise of free speech, and it's about time that was actually changed. I don't think that there will be any change. I think they are making a huge fuss here about this Barrett woman that is unnecessary. She's a Catholic. She's not a particularly traditional Catholic. She's a Catholic that obeys the Pope, and we know that the Pope is extremely liberal. So I don't really have much hope that she is actually going to make that many changes. But what do you think, Grandpa? Do you think their fears are justified or not?
Isn't it amazing that it's only a problem when they just face the fear of they might actually not get what they want? When the court shoved gay marriage down everybody's throats, that was all great. That was all fine and dandy. It didn't matter that the rest of that the vast majority of the country didn't want that. It didn't matter that it was an affront to religious people. That was no problem. But whenever just the very notion that the communists might not get what they want, then that all of a sudden, stop the presses. It's a huge deal because they may not actually get what they want. And you're right. There's basically zero possibility that the court's going to overturn. They never do. This is all hysteria, trying to whip them up. Now, what they are upset about with this woman being confirmed, the likelihood of this woman being confirmed, without her. Because the last time, if you're old enough to remember, when Al Gore ran, they kept counting ballots over and over and over in Florida trying to get a win. And finally, the Supreme Court had to step in and said, no, you've had three recounts. You can't keep counting until you come up with a win. I mean, there's a limit here and you have to shut that down. And they're openly talking about frauding this election. And I think one of the reasons they're so up in arms about this woman being put on the court before the election is, you know, they want the possibility of a split court so that the Supreme Court is rendered ineffective to step in, you know, step in and stop their plans to fraud the election. If you have a split court and, you know, 4-4 and they can't come to a decision, say, no, you can't do that. Because this notion that, you know, oh, you have all of these conservatives. John Roberts sides with the left more often than he does the right. So it's absurd to count him as, quote unquote, conservative. So but no, I think the real hysteria about this woman being placed on the court to begin with is over their plans to election fraud. And they're wanting the court to be able to be split so that it can't stop their plans to just keep inventing mail-in ballots until Biden wins.
Well, we'll get into the history of how this actually happened here now. Sexually explicit material is protected by the First Amendment, except in such cases where it can be prosecuted for obscenity or child pornography. Obscenity, as the Supreme Court ruled in 1957, Roth versus United States, is not protected by the First Amendment. To be obscene, though, it must be utterly without redeeming social value and of prurient interest. However, much of this was decided case by case and left to the interpretation of the court, with Justice Potter Stewart famously explaining, "I'll know it when I see it," regarding his method of determination on a 1964 obscenity case involving the Louis Malle film The Lovers, Jaco Bellis versus Ohio. And it was actually decided that the First Amendment did not cover obscenity, although the definition of what was then considered obscenity was changed, making it possible for lawyers to question the meaning of the words in the guidelines, such as average person and contemporary community standards. So this is how they did this. Contemporary community standards. If you are constantly lowering the standards of the community, then the contemporary community standards are continually being lowered. If you're talking about an average person, you can say that, well, you've got to go to the lowest possible denominator, really. You've got to lower everything, haven't you? So that to include everybody. So you can see how gradually this gets chipped away. And this bit about without redeeming social value, when they first started bringing the pornography in, they would add artistic bits in there, or they would add scientific bits in there. So you'd have pornography, but you would also have a little 5-minute bit about Einstein in the movie as well. And that was the way that they got away with it, by saying, well, there is a little bit of social value here, and this prurient interest as well. It's these nebulous terms that they actually used in order to get away with this. And this guy Roth, who was really pushing this, he was an absolute degenerate. He was Jewish, and he did actually write a book where he really exposed the Jews and said that they'd actually deserved all the pogroms in the past and all sorts of stuff. But he was really filthy minded as well. And it was him that was constantly trying to push the envelope, basically, and get as much disgusting obscene stuff out there as he could in all these cases against the United States, against the Supreme Court. And eventually they just said that obscenity could be subjective, and obviously that's going to keep changing with the degeneration of our morals that we see. Grandpa, I'm sure you must know something about this history as well. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm just stunned into silence that he's Jewish. I just said, wow, there's just the shock of that. It just totally blown me away. So let's think about this for just a minute. I mean, let's really, because it gets so muddled and people, and that's why they do these things. They play these games with words, and they always have to define, you know, when you realize the tactics that get used over and over again, And why they work. And one of the go-to tactics, I'd say the go-to tactic, is this attack on what the definitions of words are. They continue to just chip away and twist it around and turn it until people just get so fed up and confused they quit thinking about it. And that's always the goal. So technically, by the law, you can't have it can't be obscene. So if you click on Pornhub and load up page after page after page of white women doing gangbangs with blacks, that's not obscene. It has some sort of redeeming artistic value. Nobody can tell you what that is. Well, why? Because they take the word obscene and they just keep chipping away and twisting it. And what does it mean? And, well, this could be considered artistic. And you just keep going around and around until the word has no meaning. And this is done time and time again, no matter what the topic is. And they take the word and twist it and keep twisting and wringing it until it has no meaning. And they always attack the words. They always attack the vocabulary, the definition of words until they have no meaning. And this is just a absolute classic example. Point to any random porn and tell me what is not obscene about it. There's nothing not obscene about it. What redeeming artistic value? Pick a random porno off of any porn site. And I just dare anyone to tell me what is the redeeming artistic value of it. There is none. But they have twisted the words around to the point where it's just meaningless. So you just now you have this flood of pornography, which is, as you pointed out earlier, a weapon against the people. It is so destructive against the people, but it funnels billions of dollars to the right people. We know who runs the porn industry. All of this money gets funneled to the right people. Like I pointed out earlier, they'll shut down Backpage because that money doesn't get funneled to the right people. That's just some hooker trying to make a few bucks, and that's how she's making a living. That doesn't funnel billions to the porn industry. That doesn't funnel billions to the correct people. So they'll shut her down. They don't care that it puts her out on the street. They'll claim, oh, we're stopping human trafficking. It puts her on the street where she's actually getting trafficked by pimps. It's always about making sure when the billions of dollars are getting funneled to the right people in the porn industry, that is always going to be protected. And they'll find whatever excuse to do that. And that is how this system, every aspect of the system works.
You know, Hollywood helped this along the way too, the gradual chipping away at the standards. They started putting pornography in a Holocaust film back in the 60s. And of course, you couldn't ban the film because it was about the Holocaust. And once they had done that, they started putting sex scenes in all the movies, and it just overwhelmed the Catholic group that was actually standing up against this. I forget the name of them, but they were standing up against this degeneration of the morals of America. But without a measurable standard, obscenity could be even more subjective. It wasn't until 1973's Miller versus California case when the court engineered a three-part approach to measuring obscenity, known as the Miller test. These criteria continue to inform how the lines are drawn between adult entertainment protected as free speech versus similar but prosecutable content found to be patently offensive and lacking in serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. The court's interpretation of obscenity and freedom of speech nearly 50 years ago shaped the legal framework today's adult industry operates within, which is why who fills that seat matters. In years to come, they will be dictating the existence of porn and quite possibly free speech with it. I mean, it's just incredible the way they link it with the right to criticize the government with the right to show somebody having sex with a prostitute. I guess that's what they say, a scientific value. It's seeing what goes on. You know, it's just degenerate for the person that's actually watching it. It's not a good thing to have here at all. And the way that they've done this, as I say, is just to keep chipping away at society's morals so that they can say that that's not obscene. It's not patently obscene was their new word, or patently offensive. Well, how can something be patently offensive? What's the difference between that and offensive? And over here in Britain, they come out with this term grossly offensive. Well, either something is offensive and it's obscene, or it isn't. There isn't really degrees to this, and pornography is not good for the people making it, and it's not good for the people watching it either. What do you make of what they say here about this patently offensive bit, Grandpa?
Serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value applied to porn. And we're supposed to take this seriously. We're supposed to take this system seriously. And see, this is the thing. When you take it, you know, what the founders established, and they were very, very open about this. They were very frank about this, that they said, what we're setting up here only works for a God-fearing nation. They said that. They say, what we're setting up only works for God-fearing people. Well, now we're godless people. It's a godless nation. So that's how you get into this. Well, we can define obscenity. What does that mean? What does this word, what is the meaning of the word? We all know what the meaning of the word is, but only in a religious context. Once you take the religious aspect out of it, then everything is relative. Everything means whatever it means to you at the time. It it means what they want it to mean. Once you remove that and they push the, they have just basically washed religion out of our society completely. And this is the end result. But I think it's interesting because again, the founders were very upfront that what they were trying to establish would only work with a God-fearing religious people. It won't work in this sort of society that we have now. And once again, they were proven very right. Sure, they couldn't look into the future. They couldn't imagine the level of degeneracy that this society embraces. Every aspect of this society embraces. They couldn't even fathom it. They couldn't imagine it. But yet they did have the foresight to say, none of these things will work unless people have, you know, for except for a religious and God-fearing people, because a religious and God-fearing people won't sit here and try to play word games and dance around on what the hell obscenity means when we all know it, what it means. How do you sit here and try to read in literary, artistic, political, and scientific value into a porno? I mean, come on, this is laughably stupid because it's so absurd. It's like everything else in this society. It's so utterly absurd. Scientific, really? Scientific value in a porn. But we're supposed to take this seriously. Meanwhile, actual political speech, you better watch what you say. You better be careful how you say it. You better be careful how you word what you word, because if it could be interpreted to mean somehow being something hateful, then you're in all kinds of trouble. This is the absurd society. This is the clown world that we live in.
Well, back when we based everything on Christian law, the whole point of that was these laws cannot change. This is what the law is. It doesn't change. It came from God. When you base it on, well, we'll just base these laws on what society thinks today, then that's constantly changing and it's constantly going to get dragged downwards. That's the difference here. You have unchanging laws of nature, and then you have man deciding that he's going to ignore all of that and make laws depending on what he feels like today, what the community feels like doing today, and how degenerate that community has become. The adult industry is founded on bodily autonomy and freedom of expression, freedoms that religious extremist Barrett will happily erode or remove. She will even be considering First Amendment cases that could outlaw porn. While she claims to be for freedom and liberty, it's clear she will happily regulate the bedroom on and off screen, warns adult actress and former Penthouse pet Mary Moody. We might hope that Barrett could separate her extremist religious beliefs from her judgments, but while teaching law, she argued justices should be allowed to judge based on these beliefs. Her history speaks for itself, and when given the option to rule on cases that will impact sex workers, it is clear she will lean on her radical conservative religious beliefs to aid her. It's incredible that they're calling her an extremist just because she is simply a Catholic. Wasn't the woman that she is replacing, wasn't she a secular Jew? Didn't she have her own religious beliefs or otherwise that she had? Don't all of them have their beliefs? Isn't this supposed to be somehow representative of the American public? So 60% of America is Christian. Shouldn't 60% at least of these judges certainly be Christian? I find it offensive that they're calling her a religious extremist when she's basically just a liberal Catholic. The extremist here are these porn actresses, these prostitutes basically that make their money sleeping with lots of different men and filming it. They are the extremists. They're going against all natural law in what they do, and they're teaching the people that watch it that this is a good and sensible thing to do, and it's not. It's very damaging. What do you make of these insults here of her, calling her a religious extremist, Grandpa?
Well, it's no different than now normie cons are Nazis. You know, everybody that's to the right of Stalin is a Nazi. So now regular normie con Trump supporters are fascists and Nazis. I mean, this is just the typical route we see. She's a religious extremist. I mean, this is so absolutely absurd. If she was a religious extremist, she would be at home raising her kids. She wouldn't be pursuing a career and being a judge in the first place. This sort of stuff, just, you know, listening to this nonsense and watching them play these word games and defending, you know, pornography as some sort of sacred right in this country, and all the while insulting the Christian heritage and background of this country. This is why, I mean, even I'm a Christian believer. That's obviously no secret. I'm a Christian believer, 100%. I actually really, you know, believe this stuff. It's not just words that I mouth. And but having said that, I have a begrudging respect for the Muslims because they don't put up with this shit. And the Christians in this country do. I'm not saying people should go around lopping heads off, but seriously, I mean, the Muslims take their religion seriously. And you know, we can look at this and get caught up in the absurdity in it, and it'll just twist your mind up in a knot. You know, this comes from the fact that over the years, over the decades, over the generations, due to decadence and creeping degeneracy, the Christian nation, the Christian people of this country walked away from their faith. They quit taking it seriously. It became just a social group. It just became sitting around listening to motivational speakers, and they quit taking their religious beliefs seriously. I like I say, I'm a Christian believer, but I have a begrudging respect for the Muslims because they do take their beliefs seriously. They don't, you don't insult their religious beliefs without consequence, and they're very serious about the consequences. Again, I'm not condoning the way they handle their stuff, but they do take their stuff seriously. When the people of this nation no longer take it seriously, they just blow it off. They don't care how much their beliefs, their religion is insulted. Then you wind up with this woman like this. They call her religious extremist. It's just laughable on its face. She's a feminist. I mean, really, I mean, she's a feminist. You look at her background. And, I mean, yeah, she might actually, I'm sure she'll do a better job of actually interpreting the law than Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a.k.a. the Crypt Keeper. Did, but to say she's a religious extremist is just laughable on its face. But it all comes back to the Christian community, the Christian people, the people of this nation walked away long ago, generations ago, from any real belief in God and in God's laws, in the natural order, which is you brought up the natural order. The natural orders are established by God. Those things go hand in hand. It's part of God's laws. And the people have walked away from that. And now you get to reap the benefit of that. We can sit here and just roll our eyes at this stuff, and we will continue to do so. But the bottom line is you reap what you sow. And this nation has sown what it's getting to reap.
Well, if you promote immorality and sleeping around, there's going to be a lot of unwanted pregnancies, and then you've got to legalize abortion, and then you've got depression for the rest of your life with these mothers that have murdered their children. It all follows on from thinking that you can go against natural law and go against God. And you bring up the Muslims there and the fact that they still obey their religion. We seem to take a pride in the fact that we do no longer obey our religion and think that the rest of the world should be the same. Well, let's have a look at what she has to actually say here. She says, I have the integrity to act consistently with my oath and apply the law as the law. And that's what Amy Coney Barrett actually says. And yet the Daily Beast is getting all upset and excited about this and claiming that she's not going to be able to do it. But she hasn't said that, has she? She says she will act consistently with her oath and apply the law. But the Daily Beast say, nonetheless, it's nearly impossible to believe her religious views won't impact her judicial duty to the law. I suspect that from what we know of her religious beliefs, that any anti-porn cases that come before the court will stand a good chance of winning for the religious right agenda. This goes hand in hand with reproductive, women's and civil rights protections under the 14th Amendment, says Angie Rowntree, founder of Shush.com, the web's first porn for women feminist site. Having presided over 10,000 cases, Judge Herb Dodal, author of From the Trench to the Bench, says, as judges, we are supposed to follow the law, whether we agree with it or not. I am not sure she can do that, given her strong views. And what they're really worried about is that she's not going to subvert the law, that she will actually interpret the law, which is what she says, when she says she will apply the law as the law. How can they claim that a law that protects free speech, protects the right for prostitutes to film themselves sleeping with as many different men as they can make money out of? That is not free speech. Free speech is about the right to be able to criticize those who rule over you. It has nothing to do with within the bedroom. And I don't like the way that they try to imply here that this is going to affect everybody within the bedroom. It's only going to affect prostitutes, basically, within the bedroom. And what are your final thoughts on this, Grandpa?
Well, it is. It's always about projection with these people. Well, she's just going to interpret the law the way she's fit, as if they haven't done that. We're in clown world where obscenity has been defined down to basically mean to be utterly meaningless. They've defined it down. They've twisted the law. They've turned the First Amendment into a protection for porn, which is which is just absurd on his face. So they project that onto her. Well, she's just going to twist the law to mean what she wants it. You mean like y'all have done now for decades and decades? Yeah, it is. It's utterly ridiculous. And once again, it's reflected the fact that it's only a problem if the left doesn't get what they want. As long as they're getting everything that they want, then everything is great. But just the notion, just the very idea that a single case could come forward and heaven forbid they don't get what they want. When they trample all over what everybody else wants, it's like they talk about democracy, democracy, democracy. You know, well, in California, they passed a proposition outlawing gay marriage. Well, the court threw that out, and that was great. Supposedly, democracy is our values, but if the people don't vote the way they want it to go, then they just have the courts overthrow it and give them what they want. Everything is geared to where they get what they want all the time, and they raise these alarm bells and, oh my gosh, she could just, well, what are they so upset about? That she might have the audacity, maybe, perhaps, in a single case, not give the left what they want. My goodness, let's just stop the presses. It would be just a total crisis if they didn't get what they want. They just have drilled it into the psyche of the people that the left has to always get what they want. And it works because the Republicans, the quote unquote conservatives, always wind up rolling over and giving the leftists, the communists, what they want ever and over and over again. So they set this narrative in the people's mind, and they themselves accept that narrative that the way it's supposed to work is they always get what they want. And just the idea, just the very idea that they might not get what they want, obviously will send them into a meltdown.
Well, of course, we do hope Amy Coney Barrett does take a stand for the law, and we wish her all the best. And thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for coming on, Grandpa. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.